Today's reading is taken from Luke 11, and I'm reading from 1 to 4. That's Luke 11, 1 to 4. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" This is the word of the Lord. And David's going to be concentrating particularly today on when you pray, the words Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Father, hallowed be your name." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for everyone here. We thank you for your word and the truth of your word. And we now ask you to bless David as he brings even more truth to us today. Thank you, Father. And we ask you to bless each person here today, those on watching online and those in live in service. But we ask it all in Jesus' name, and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sue and the band, and thank you for being here in person or connecting online. Welcome, everyone. It's great to be looking at these amazing words. You know, many times over the past 18 months, with the uncertainty and challenges of COVID, I found myself waking up earlier than I wanted to and then struggling to go back to sleep because of all the thoughts that are buzzing around my head. So I would try and pray rather than worry. I don't know if you've sometimes can relate to that. I try and focus my thoughts on God, but I often find it's hard to think straight in the middle of the night. Do you find it easier to worry than to pray? You know, I see in the scriptures a connection between those two. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God." There's a connection there, and we're going to be looking in this series and discovering ways which we can grow in our praying rather than our worrying. You know, I started often in this kind of past 18 months, and it started in the middle of the night when I was trying to kind of capture my thoughts. I started going over and over Jesus' prayer that he taught us to pray here in this passage. I would do it slowly in my head, forcing myself to think about each phrase and dwelling on it. You know, it was a way of praying, but it was also a way of capturing my thoughts, trying to stop them kind of from the fruitless wandering that so often they would do. You know, if my thoughts started to wander, I would try and discipline myself by saying, "Okay, I'm going to start at the beginning of the prayer again." I know it's not a long prayer, but in the middle of the night, kind of time gives kind of stretches and elastic. So I'd start and I'd get a couple of lines in, and then my thoughts would wander, and then I'd say, "Oh, let me start again." And so I used to pray these beginning parts, and I've even again recently just many, many times. Sometimes I would fall asleep before I got to the end of the prayer. Great, back to sleep. But often too, I would pray it over and over. This prayer has helped me so much this year. You know, it's great as we start a new term to have over these next few weeks an opportunity to focus on prayer. You know, particularly as we, as you know, Becky was saying, come in to a week of prayer and fasting starting next Sunday from the 12th to the 19th. But I want to kind of just back up a little bit and just ask, you know, why do you pray? Why do we pray? You know, there's all kinds of reasons that we could give. You know, God commands us to pray. That would be reason enough. You know, God uses prayer to change us and to change our world. You know, in prayer, we get to come and ask the Almighty God who made everything for things as we come in prayer. But, you know, above all, we pray to meet with God. First and foremost, the purpose of prayer is meeting with God. I love that bit that Becky kind of highlighted in the video. You know, connecting with God is pretty much the most mind-blowing thing we can do. I was thinking about it again as we were just worshiping, that we're not just singing together. We're speaking out praise to the one who did all these things, who made all these things, who loves us like that. And thinking, wow, God, this is just amazing. To be able to sense and experience your presence. Over the summer, I picked up a book. I haven't actually finished it yet. I often find I'm blessed even by just starting sometimes a book like this one. It was by Richard Foster, and it was called Life with God. I was kind of drawn to the title. And in the first couple of pages, he said this. He said, just as God kept saying in ancient times, and we've been looking at the kind of great Bible overview, and we've seen some of these things in the past year in the Bible, but God keeps saying to people, I am with you. I am with you, I am with you, I am with you. In all the love and terror and pity and pain and wonder that is your life, God says, I am with you. But God also asks us this question. Are you willing to be with me? You know, recognizing God's presence and seeking to be aware of it is one thing, but also being willing and wanting ourselves to meet with God. That is how we embrace life with God. And what does a life with God look like? A life, you know, that is walking with him. Well, Richard Foster goes on and he describes it like this. And I read this and I kind of highlighted it in the book I was reading it. He describes a life with God like this. It is a life of unhurried peace and power. It is solid. It is serene. It is simple. It is radiant. It takes no time, though it permeates all of our time. And I read that and I was so drawn to it. I read that and I thought, you know, often my life is not like that. But I want my life to be like that more and more and more. You know, I want to walk with God through my days. You know, I want to meet with him in the morning and I want to acknowledge his presence as I start the day, but also as I go through the day. I want to live a life with God. I want to walk with him. You know, I find prayer, spoken or unspoken, prayer, whether it's on my own or with others, helps me do that. You know, so if you're wondering, well, how do I do that? How do I pray? How do I kind of experience a kind of this life with God? Well, Jesus wonderfully teaches us here in this passage how to pray, how to meet with God. Tim and I were talking about this week, and he said he'd heard this great kind of bit in a course on prayer by Pete Gregg, and I watched it and I found it so helpful. And this was one of the things he said. He said, Pete Gregg said, the one thing that the disciples explicitly asked Jesus to help them with was prayer. They asked, teach us to pray. They didn't ask him to teach us to preach or to teach us to plant churches or to teach us to share our faith. They said, teach us to pray, because they could see that this was the key to everything about their rabbi's ministry. And as I read that, as I heard Pete say that, I just thinking, I want, Lord, over these coming weeks, over this kind of month at the start of this new term, I want, God, would you keep teaching me to pray? Would you keep teaching us to pray? I long that we would grow as a kind of extended family of believers, as to be people who Jesus teaches to pray. You know, we sometimes call this the Lord's Prayer. But really, it's the believer's prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus has given us to remind us that we are a family. We're his family. It's a prayer which reminds us of our togetherness. It's a prayer where we start by looking up to our Father. And so we're going to focus this morning on these kind of first couple of phrases, and then in the coming weeks, we're going to look at some of the other phrases as well. But I just want us to think about this simple beginning. Father, hallowed be your name. Would you just say that with me, everyone? Father, hallowed be your name. I want to think about meeting with our Father. And the first thing I want us to explore and see in that little phrase is just experiencing intimacy. Experiencing intimacy. You know, Jesus teaches us to pray Father, and he models in his praying that the disciples often overhear calling God Father. He in fact often uses a very intimate word for Father. He often talks about Abba or Papa. And you know, this was revolutionary for most of the Jews at the time. They would never pray in such an intimate way with God. But Jesus is actively encouraging us as his followers to pray Father. You know, this week we're traveling as a family somewhere, and one of my kids was just really tired, and they sat next to me, and they simply leant their head on my shoulder. And it was just such a precious moment with them. It was a moment of intimacy. They were tired. They knew that. They knew I knew that. And they just kind of leant on me. It's a wonderful thing to have a kind of relationship with someone where you can be known and know them. You can be open about how you're feeling. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to know, however you're doing, that you're loved. You know, and the challenge for so many is that we go through our lives and many people don't know, do I have someone like that? Do I can really be open and honest with, really intimate with, and secure? You know, as I was thinking, though, about my child kind of leaning on me in that way, I thought, you know, I could do this with God. This is the kind of intimacy we can have with God anytime. I can just, as it were, lean on him and say, God, you know how I'm feeling. Here I am. I lean on you. You are stronger than I am. You know, we sometimes sing here this wonderful song, you know, you're a good, good Father. That's who you are. You know, it's remembering the goodness of our Father. He's a good Father who provides for us. He's a good Father who guides us. He's a Father who disciplines us and teaches us. He's a Father who wonderfully forgives us. He's a Father who's so generous to us. He's a Father who delights in us. He's a Father who wants to spend time with us. Wow. How amazing is that? What an amazing, wonderful invitation. Anytime, anywhere. It's not just that we should pray. It's actually, that's the wrong way of thinking about it. We get to pray. We get to do this amazing thing of leaning and being intimate with our Father. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to meet with you. And so I ask, as we looked at the beginning in that Richard Foster quote, do you want to meet with him? Do we want to meet with him? Do we want to know and experience this intimacy with the Father God, with our Father God? What an invitation. You know, it's staggering, isn't it, to think that we would ever say no. I mean, who would be so daft as to say no? But we do. I do sometimes. You know, time and again, we avoid the presence of God. I mean, what are we thinking? You know, we avoid it with the kind of distractions or busyness or, you know, work or entertainment. You know, why would we do that? Well, maybe it's connected to this second phrase. This second phrase, which is hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. I want to secondly and just lastly talk about encountering holiness. To hallow is to treat as holy. You know, set apart, special, kind of to be revered. You know, the Jews had many names for God. Maybe the main name, though, the one that, you know, is most actually often used in the Bible, and sometimes in our Bible it's translated in capital letters, Lord. Actually, that name was a name that the Jews themselves, they would never pronounce, speak out loud. They would always just write it down, and even in abbreviated form. It was that holy, just the name, that they would announce it. And there was a kind of awe that people had of God in those times, that, well, when they were walking with him. And I just want to say, I sometimes look at the Western world and the church in the UK and the people's lives, I think we need more awe. We need awe of the fact that we are getting to meet with the God who made everything, the holy God, the one who angels are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I mean, he's so much more mighty than you and I could ever imagine, so much more radiant and light. We need that sense of reverence and humility and awe as we approach him. I think we kind of know this subconsciously more than we often acknowledge consciously. I think it's one of the reasons we're sometimes cautious about pressing into meeting with God. I think it's one of the reasons why we would sometimes rather be distracted than having to deal with meeting with one who's so holy and great. I mean, what would that mean for our lives and the things we need to do? You know, because it's not just joining with a song, worship and wonder, which is what that kind of beginning is. Father, hallowed be your name. This is a kind of encountering God by saying, God, you're so great. As we do that, it's not just about joining in a song. It's about joining with his will. It's about coming and saying, God, look, you're this God. You know, prayer is about knowing who God is and who I am and knowing that it's me who needs to fit in with God, not the other way around. To come and say, God, your will be done. And the irony is that we sometimes kind of hold back from God's presence because we think we're going to be happier by kind of living our self-centered lives rather than being reminded of his holy presence. I've been enjoying, again, a book by Peter Lewis called The Lord's Prayer. And in it, he kind of writes about some of these lines. And in one bit, he comments about a friend of his, Selwyn Hughes, who was this is what he writes. He says, Selwyn Hughes has said, in all the years I have worked as a minister and a Christian counselor, I have never met a happy, self-centered person. The self-centered are the unhappy and frustrated. They express themselves, but they don't like the self they express. And he goes on and says, it is when we begin to look away from ourselves to God, to transfer our ultimate loyalty from us to him, to say, hallowed be your name, that our own healing and true self-fulfillment begins. It is part of the upside-down world of God's kingdom that as we lose ourselves in this way, we find ourselves. It's as we come to this holy, almighty God that we get perspective. It's as we come, we remember that, you know, how we fit in the world, and it brings healing into our lives. Do you need healing? Are you feeling frustrated and worn out, maybe after all that we've gone through? I know for myself and so many coming into this summer and into this new term, it's like, God, we need your restoring of us. Well, let's look up. Let's, yes, experience the intimacy of a Father we lean on, but let's not forget this Father we lean on is this almighty, holy God. So much bigger, ways so far beyond often what we can grasp. Let's be still, as Psalm 46:10 puts it, and know that he is God. He will be exalted among all the nations. He will be exalted over all the earth. Be still and know that he is God. You know, the spiritual disciplines help us in that. They help us to remember it's not about our lives, but about God and about his purposes and plans for others. You know, our vision as a church is kind of reminding ourselves that it's not about us. Every generation, raising the next generation to be free, to be following Jesus, reaching out, being an extended family, and doing everything in love. You know, prayer is such a vital part of that, because that's how we ourselves follow Jesus. That's how we help others grow in that. And so these disciplines of prayer and fasting, which are so often linked, you know, they, again, these disciplines are ways to help us do what we can do. We can pray, we can fast, that's possible, to receive the help to do what we can't always do. To actually see God work in our lives and people around us, the next generation, those who don't know Christ. There's things that we want to see God doing that we in of ourselves can't do. But as we pray, we receive the power and strength from God to enable those things to happen. That's why I encourage you in these kind of disciplines this week. That's why I encourage you to make the most of the prayer and fasting week coming up to say, yeah, God, I'm going to make the most of like an early morning prayer on Zoom. You know, it's accessible. Whatever you're doing, 7 o'clock, you can come for one, you can come for all. You know, and from 7 to 8, let's pray together. The discipline of not just praying even as a church kind of together, but actually we're going to, on Wednesday the 15th, we're going to join with other churches across the city in the middle of that prayer week. Some other churches, we're going to have a chance to join with them in person at Emmanuel, or you can connect online. Again, the details are all at that prayer wink link. We're going to have some of our kind of communities clustering together to pray in different parts of the city over this month. In fact, our kind of community are joining with some other communities, and we're having a kind of time of praying together up in St. Anne's Wells Park after a picnic just this lunchtime. So if you're here and you've not got plans for lunch, you live local in this kind of area, we'd love you to join us. Just the St. Anne's Wells Park after the service for a picnic, and then we're having some chance to pray together there. But these things, it's not just about the event, it's about getting an appetite for meeting with God so that we can do that anytime, anywhere, on our own, or with others. We get to pray. We get to talk to the Almighty. Talk to our Father. Listen to Him. God wants to meet with you and I. Do you want to meet with Him? Maybe you're thinking, just as we were even worshiping earlier, but you know, this is what my life is like. This is what I've done. You know, how can I come to meet God like that? And we've got to remember who it is who's teaching us to pray. Who's teaching us to pray? Who's teaching the disciples this? Who? Come on, who? Who? Jesus. Jesus, the one who's come not just to teach us, but to come to help us be adopted into God's family. The one who's like, He is our big brother who dies in my place and your place so that we can be accepted into the family and call God our Father. The one who poured out His Spirit on those who believe in Him. The Spirit that enables us to know we are God's children and we can cry out, Abba. This is this Jesus, this one who we come to the Father through Jesus the Son, giving Him the glory for the great things He has done. So let's come to the Father. Let's meet with Him even now. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. We're going to be still and just seek the presence of God and meet with Him. And you might even just want to lean, as it were, figuratively in your mind, your head on His shoulder. Your Father is big and strong. He knows what you're going through. You might just want to kind of echo that request of the disciples and say, just teach me how to pray. I want to draw near you, Almighty God. Maybe you need to invite Jesus into your life and say, Jesus, I want to be part of this family of God, through what you've done. maybe rather than kind of holding back fear of entering the holiness of God, you need to say, Jesus, thank you, you deal with my shame, my guilt. I step in to this holy place. Acknowledge your presence. Surrender to you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, hallowed be your name.